I try to put you down, cause I know it's a sin. Then I pick you back up and start puffing again. You're a little bit like the devil, and a little bit like my friend. I don't care that you might be making me sick. I don't care that you look like R2-D2's dick. Just wanna put my vape juice in and start blowing clouds again.
Grabbing juice flavors off the rack. Modded trigger box, voltage has been hacked. We can't escape the steam that we vape. Trains off the tracks, we became what we spake. Ethereal, cum, yellow, nimbus. Can't comprehend the clouds that's in us. We float, we fly. We puff, puff, puff until we die, die, die. I'm just a clown in the clouds. All thunder and lightning, rain never touched the ground.
Wise men say only fools rush in. Wise men say slow down or you'll forget your vaping. Leave the club to go to a gas station. And you gotta go back again.
Got my vape box ready to rip. I'm gonna ride it like a skateboard. Take a little trip. Blam, boom, puff. Spray it to the moon. Can't see the sky. It's all spelling doom. What we did and we're back again. Same place we started. Only got one question and that's who farted?
It wasn't me. I don't blow that kind of cloud.
Who farted?
We reached your destination. You're gonna have to get out.
Who farted?
It wasn't me.
See you later. Have a great night. Fucking asshole. That was Ethereal Cumulonimbus by Reginald Anderson Peter and Colonel French Daisy. And also, you might have noticed that Johnny Pemberton was featured in this track, which is now actually number 15. On the Davidson Part charts. And that is incredible for Johnny. I'm really excited for his success. Of course, you can say that you knew him before he rose to hip-hop fame because you follow his Twitch stream, which is twitch.tv/Johnny Pemberton. Please, will you just follow his Twitch? Press pause on this thing. Unmount your lover and climb out of the bathtub and splash on into your living room or kitchen or bedroom where your computer is and just type in twitch.tv/Johnny Pemberton, then hop back into your love tub. This is a very intimate episode today, friends. Maybe too intimate, actually. I don't know. You do a podcast too long and you stop being able to tell. You know, for my breeder friends out there, you're probably aware of the fact that this isn't exactly like the best time in human history to be raising kids, or to be married, or to not be married, or just to be a human. You know, I think one of the satanic things, and this is not a hot take, but truly one of the satanic things about Instagram or anything where people are taking pictures of themselves is it just doesn't tell the whole truth, and you can get fooled. You look and you see some beautiful person basking about on some exotic beach. You're on the toilet. You've got a combination of oatmeal and applesauce puke all over your shirt. You're already late to drop the kid off at school. You're just looking at them. How beautiful they look. How beautiful that fucking sand looks. And you think, wow, I hope I'm all right. I think I took too much psyllium husk. While they're out there lounging around some beautiful exotic beach, I'm having a weird bowel movement in the mountains while I'm covered in baby puke. Do I even exist anymore? We vaguely contemplated editing this one, but we're just going to throw it out there. I think it's a really good one, actually. So we're going to jump right into it. But first, this. Friends, listen. If you're sleeping on an old fucking mattress, it would be better that a millstone was tied to your foot and you were thrown into a caldera filled with a combination lava and boiling sewage. Sleeping on a bad bed is a dark thing to do to yourself. You finally get to dive back into the collective mind, have a few hours of non-existence, but you spend those few hours on something that is as uncomfortable as the back of a lich. It's like sleeping on a skeletal thing. It's time for you to upgrade, which is why I recommend sleeping on a purple mattress. That's because only purple mattresses have the Gel Flex Grid. It's a super stretchy, ultra squishy material that adapts and flexes around the pressure points and does not retain heat. The Gel Flex Grid is amazingly supportive for your back and legs while cushioning your shoulders, neck, and hips, no matter how you sleep. Unlike memory foam, which remembers everything. Thanks to the Gel Flex Grid, purple mattresses bounce back as you move and shift. You'll never have that I'm stuck feeling people get with memory foam, where it feels like a goblin's on your chest, scraping at your eyes with their astral claws. Look, you might not have control over a lot of stuff right now, but you definitely have control over whether or not you sleep on a thing that seems like a bag filled with vulture ribs. Purple is incredible. You're going to feel like you are laying on something out of Star Trek, not the original, the Next Generation. It's obviously beautiful, my favorite color, but also all of the stuff that I just read where you're kind of like, I don't know what a Gel Flex Grid is. It doesn't matter. Because when you lay on this thing, you are going to feel like you are laying on some kind of angel of sleep. Something that found you there laying on that briar patch disguised as a mattress and took pity on you and said, come, lay on me, child. Sleep again, child. Sleep again. Getting a great night's sleep starts with having a great mattress. Get a purple mattress. You go to purple.com/Duncan10 and use code Duncan10. For a limited time, you can get 10% off any order of $200 or more. That's purple.com/Duncan10, code Duncan10. For 10% off any order of $200 or more, purple.com/Duncan10, promo code Duncan10. Terms apply. And remember, you can try this thing risk-free with free shipping and returns, and financing is available. And we are back. Everyone, won't you please subscribe to my Patreon? It's at patreon.com/DTFH. You sign up, you're going to get commercial-free episodes of this podcast, along with the opportunity to interact with one of the most brilliant groups of human beings that has ever walked the face of the earth. That's the DTFH family. We gather twice a week for a weekly meditation group called Journey into Boredom, and our family gatherings, which are always a blast. That's at patreon.com/DTFH. All right, pals, here we go. With us here today is my beautiful wife, the mother of my children, and an all-around amazing human being. Everyone, please welcome back to the DTFH, Erin Trussell. Welcome back to the show. It's great to see you again.
Good to see you.
I haven't seen you very much. Not over the last couple of years. No.
No. It's crazy. I've changed. Do you see? I have a lot of gray hair.
Yeah.
And I look a little tired.
Yeah. You're tired. Why wouldn't you be?
Messy bun and sweatpants.
Yes.
Default.
Default mom mode. DMM. You're a mom.
Yeah.
Hardcore mom.
Yeah.
Like if kids were heroin, people would be like, wow, she's.
I like kids like people like heroin.
You're addicted to reproducing?
Yeah. That's another topic.
What do you mean another for what? Another topic for what? That's hilarious. Really? What's it another topic for?
Another time.
Are you all of a sudden shy?
We've been arguing about when to do this podcast.
We're going to LA next week to scope it out. We're trying to decide between LA and Austin. And
we're in Asheville currently.
My idea was that we would wait and go and do this podcast in LA.
Just in a nice hotel room.
And Erin felt rejected because she wanted to do it here in LA.
I felt.
Or in Asheville.
Yeah. Well, I felt that it was maybe too celebratory.
See, I don't see the trip to LA as celebratory.
To do it in a nice hotel when we're, even though I'll be very sad, away from our kids.
I don't see it as celebratory. It's just weird.
Weird. Yeah, we're going to
the city we left to see if we want to go back and live there with our tail between our legs.
And we, yeah, and some days it's home and some days we're like, why the fuck would we ever move back there?
Yeah, right.
And other days we're just heartsick about it.
Well, it's a whole sentimental journey. And it's like, you know, it's all based on attachment. We're all attached, you know, it's like sentimentality, yeah, and attachment.
Identity.
All this, yeah, weird shit that, like, you know, you
making it in a big city.
Yeah. And glamour and like all this ego shit. And, but all that stuff, what I love about having kids is like all that stuff really gets completely, well, at least semi-vaporized by the reality of like, no, I have kids.
Yeah.
Like I have to, these kids need to be in a place that is not only going to be full of culture and diversity, mm-hmm, and opportunity, but just basically safe. Like that's the thing that we want. Now that was why we came here. You know, it was
right.
This idea of, you know, well, shit, man, all these earthquakes and fires and
rent and us not seeing the prospect of
buying a house,
being homeowners in Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles.
And schooling and everything else that is probably easy to imagine.
Yeah.
Like all the generic easy to imagine things that you would face being in Los Angeles,
yeah,
is what drove us out.
Yeah, we left. We fled.
Yeah.
We fled.
Not only did we
literally
flee,
white flight.
But we are.
I mean, we're literally white flight. We're white and we fled. That is true.
We're white and we fled, but I mean,
you don't need to say cut it. It's not like anyone listening to this is like,
yeah, it's complex and whatever, but I lost my train of thought now.
Cause I said white flight.
Yeah.
You haven't,
that hasn't
it hasn't occurred to you yet that we're white flight.
No, my point was going to be that we fled, but we were just so boisterous in the way we fled. We're like, we'll never want to be here again. This place is a complete piece of shit. Anyone who lives here is an idiot. Anyone who's raising kids here, you're wrong. It's wrong. It's unethical. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, we left in a maelstrom of just running our mouths.
We're basically like the Blue Angels of white flight. Like if white flight was like a show, we would
we ran our mouths.
Yeah, that's what we do.
I know, but about this in particular. Like,
yeah,
we were
hubris.
We were so boisterous about
dumb,
it.
Dumb, proud idiots.
Proud, yeah, proud. Like, very proud.
Certain,
but the truth is we were terrified.
We were terrified, but certain.
Yeah, that's not a good combination.
Never. It causes holocausts. But we were like, oh, yeah, we shrugged it all off. We were like, you don't.
We were so annoying to our friends.
We could just
staying there.
Yeah, totally passive aggressive.
Not passive. It wasn't passive.
Aggressive, aggressive.
We were so loud and annoying about it. And, you know, we moved here and I was pregnant and we, And coronavirus, like this pandemic was, it was September 2020 when we arrived here.
So, really?
Yes.
I don't remember.
So I'm the date keeper of the family.
That was cool, though. No, when we first got here, it was pretty fucking cool.
No, it was like I felt like I could breathe. I was pregnant. I was halfway through my pregnancy. I felt like I could just literally take in fresh mountain air. It was incredible. It was incredible.
It was adventurous.
Yeah, it was adventurous. It was fun. We got a cabin. It was beautiful. It had a gorgeous view. It was tiny, the house. But, I mean, it wasn't really a cabin. It was a cabin more in its locale, but it wasn't, like, it was a little house.
It was cool. It had Buddha statues everywhere.
Yeah, it already had Buddha statues everywhere. It just felt, like, totally divine where we needed to be.
I thought it was the best.
Our son was almost 2. I was pregnant. It felt safe. Felt good. We were like, what, 30 minutes outside of any kind of town?
Yeah.
40 minutes?
40 minutes, 30 minutes.
30, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
So that was great. That was a
That's the last time we heard from you, I think. I think that was the last podcast we did.
I don't know.
From there.
No.
Maybe we did one more after that.
We did one in Georgia.
Oh, yeah. We did one in Georgia. Yeah. Oh, that was a fun time.
Yeah. But anyway, so I guess there's a gulf between like how we got to going to check out LA and getting here. But I don't even know where to, I don't know where to start.
Well, I think the, you know, I've talked about this on this podcast, but you sort of like, you know, this is one of the big fantasies in life, I think, is that there's this idea of like uprooting yourself and moving from point A to point B.
Or like the mountain fantasy in specifically. Like,
yeah,
moving to the mountains.
Right.
Moving to the middle of nowhere, moving to the country. That's like, that's a trope.
It's a trope. And it's also it's a kind of pipe dream. Like,
yeah,
the pipe dream you have, probably everyone has some kind of pipe dream about, well, if I had this thing or that thing, then I'd probably be happy.
A simpler life.
Yeah, simpler life.
Let's just speak specifically, given that we are city folk, and I think a lot of city folk have
What's a city folk, though? You say
we're
that.
We're city people, Duncan. You know what?
I know, but whenever you say that, I feel like we are like totally in a Hallmark Channel movie. This episode has been supported by Diet Smoke. You know, one of the problems with weed edibles? You just get way too high. You wanted to go on some kind of relaxing pleasure cruise, loosen up a little bit maybe before a first date, but you find yourself living through the book of Revelations, not knowing how much longer it's going to go on for, and wondering if maybe the CIA is trying to communicate to you using the flickering of streetlights, which they most certainly are. Good news for you, today's sponsor, Diet Smoke, is the best place for you to get Delta 8 THC, specifically 10 milligrams. Their gummies are delicious. And if you're wondering what Delta 8 is, it's simply a slightly less strong THC. And if you're wondering if Diet Smoke gets you high, Diet Smoke, it's 100% legal THC, even in states where cannabis is not. It's less expensive than the dispensaries, and best of all, satisfaction guaranteed. Diet Smoke is so confident that you'll get the perfect medium high, they'll refund your money if you're not satisfied. When CBD isn't enough, bong grips are too much, enjoy the smooth, smooth buzz of Diet Smoke. Right now, Diet Smoke is offering our listeners an amazing discount. When you go to DietSmoke.com, use promo code Duncan, you get 20% off your entire order. That's DietSmoke.com, promo code Duncan for 20% off. Go to DietSmoke.com, use promo code Duncan for 20% off Diet Smoke delicious THC gummies. city folk, though. You say
we're
that.
We're city people, you know, Duncan. What?
I know. But whenever you say that, I feel like we are like totally in a Hallmark Channel movie. Because that's the
we
kind
are.
Of...
We are.
It feels like that. Like if,
I feel like that. I do feel like that.
Yeah.
We're city people.
What would the title of our Hallmark Channel movie be?
Lost and Found.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I think that's actually a little too artistic.
Okay.
Like, I think...
No, it would, I don't think so. I think it's really cheesy and on the nose.
I think it would be more like LA couple mountain move.
No.
Like, the names of their shows are terrible.
No, it would be like Mountain Express.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That is what it would be.
You haven't fully grokked the Hallmark.
It would be Mountain Express. And like, you would have to be like, I would have to be like a reporter.
Yeah.
Who's like got reassigned to be to work at the Mountain Express.
I would have to be like somebody. I was a girl visiting from the big city. My dad's here. And
with a successful
farm, his ranch is not doing well.
And you have a successful blog.
Blog. How old are you?
Blog.
Vlog.
It's the Hallmark Channel.
YouTuber.
You're a successful. I think it's vlog.
Yeah, it's vlog. Blog is dead.
The point is, we come here and then like something happens and we realize, oh wait, the city is really home.
We feel like that.
That's the stupid idea. It's like,
yeah. And you know what? For a moment, I think we did feel like that because we felt safe and that was rare. And we were literally traumatized. I mean, I'm still traumatized, but we were like, as our nervous systems, like one time we went out to eat in Weaverville, which is like, there's one road, it's a main street, it's called Main Street, I think. And like, it's a teeny tiny, really, really cute town. And it has like I said, a main strip. And we were like eating dinner at one of the two restaurants there. And like some people were laughing loud. I feel like we talked about this already.
Who cares? Nobody pays attention to podcasts.
People were laughing loud. And we were sitting outside and we both just like cranked our necks. And in fear of like what was happening because we...
Scared by laughter.
We were scared of people. We were scared of people on the street screaming, attacking us, potentially. We were scared of, like, the sound of helicopters all day long.
Oh, my God. We were always having helicopters fly over
Black
our house.
Black ones.
Yeah.
So, and then Duncan and I... Well, you can just imagine, like... You guys know Duncan, you don't know me very well, but between the two of us, like the paranoid fantasies we can spin up about black helicopters during, you know, April, May, June, July, 2020, like what we thought might be coming down the line when we were seeing that.
Oh my God. Yeah, totally.
So all that. And then we get here and it's quiet and we're just, you know. But, like, then I had the baby and reality sets in. We're in a place with 90, I don't know. Can you look up?
Doesn't matter. Make it up.
No, I don't want
to. What do you think you're
going
to get?
90,000 people?
90,000 people.
I'm looking it up, I think.
I think it's like there's more.
No, it's more than that. Okay, I'm.
What is it?
No, okay, yeah. Asheville population, 91,560.
Look up the Burning Man. What's the population of Burning Man? I'm just curious.
I'm sure it's more than that. Is it?
I don't know.
No. Oh, wait. Like 50,000?
Okay.
Something like that?
Yeah. So it's like,
I don't know.
Asheville's like two Burning
Man. Oh, no, it has had 80,000.
Yeah.
And times. Looks like it. Flows, ebbs and flows, but
it does. That's what I always say.
But
the burn ebbs, the burn flows.
Tools of the trade.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't know. Reality sets in. It's cold. It's isolated. It's the mountains. I like became unhappy here first. I think. And then we struggled with that in our relationship a little bit. That caused a great issue for us.
Well,
you didn't want to move again. We just bought this beautiful house. Okay. Our house is gorgeous.
Right. I know. But like, this was also like, there's a lot of beautiful things that happened here. You have to really, you know, here's the thing. Nobody wants to go to therapy. If you are like, in fact, wanting to go to therapy is a sign that you're fucking out of your mind, actually. Like, nobody wants to go, like, it's like skin. Like, if you're a burn victim,
you are you saying like being here is therapy?
I think so. I think that.
I guess.
I think sometimes. I'm not saying
it's revealed things about ourselves for sure.
Well, I just don't think, like, I think there is a difference between like the movie idea of happiness and like actual happiness or actual stability. Like, you can't get, the only way to find stability is to be out of balance. You can't, you have to.
We're not out of balance, though. We're fucking bored.
Yeah, but that is a form of, like, I'm not, by the way, I'm not saying, like, we, one of our ongoing, like, one of Aaron's, I forgive me if I say this, it's like a projection that you put on me is this weird idea that I secretly want to stay here. And I'm
letting go of it more.
Right. But, you know, what happens when you're married and you have kids is.
A lot of things.
You basically, it's like you're with this person and you both throw yourself into some kind of combination centrifuge pressure cooker.
Yeah.
And then in that, any kind of rough edges go from being like, you know, just annoying to being like potentially catastrophic.
Totally.
So what ends up happening is you either figure out a way to get those rough edges sanded down, or the whole thing has to like naturally just like fall apart. So, you know, while we are here, and I don't think it's like even being confessional to say, because I think from what I've heard, lots of couples right now, married couples,
no, relationship, I mean, it's been absolutely
batshit
brutal.
Batshit.
No, like brutal beyond brutal beyond brutal. I mean, aside from us living in the mountains,
you know what I just pictured?
Alone.
You know what I just pictured?
What?
This beautiful dude kind of looks like Thor getting his dick sucked by this beautiful, like, I don't know, like Aryan, like, I don't know why you're listening to my podcast getting filleted, but like this beautiful, I'm just picturing this beautiful couple.
Okay.
Their kids are sleeping upstairs.
Okay.
Hearing this and they're like,
not us.
They're like, this was not us. This has been wonderful.
Yeah.
I've learned to love her even more.
Actually, I have learned to love you anymore, but I haven't enjoyed the journey to get there.
It's horrible.
To be honest.
It's been horrible.
It's been horrible.
Horrible.
We have looked separation in the face. We have looked everything in the face.
Everything.
Every possibility that could have been has been discussed.
Yeah.
Do you want to know why? Because we are the only people we see in 3D every day.
Oh, ever. God.
So it what also a leaves a lot of great room for every kind of discussion you could have with your partner.
Yeah. That's sort of the, like, everyone's life all of a sudden turned into one of those stupid game shows where you're stuck on an island with a bunch of assholes. Like, everyone's life turned into that. You know, like, we all ended up, like, what ended up happening for a long time, maybe some of you are out of the bubble by now, but we all, in some form or fashion, found ourselves no longer in, like, a consensual bubble of, like, this is my life and these are my boundaries, but a kind of, like.
No, it was all non-consensual.
Right. It was like
societally
induced bubble. And now that bubble, whatever the circumference of the bubble is, it completely depends on what state you happen to be in. And your like...
your tolerance level.
And your tolerance level.
And your risk assessment.
And what kind, and your risk assessment and your like a variety
but
of things.
We chose for much of the last 2 years to exert at times extreme amount of caution. Part of it being that I was pregnant during some of that. So when we got here, just being extremely paranoid about contracting the virus, because at one point in my pregnancy, there was like a kind of a okay spot where it was like the normal terror in my pregnancy. But then there was a late spot in my pregnancy when we were here where in if I contracted the virus that I would give birth alone.
Yeah.
I would give birth alone. That was like a real thing. You wouldn't be permitted to. That was the policy then. I think they've since changed it and the partner can come if they're negative.
Yeah.
If the partner's negative. But at the time, I was maybe going to have to give birth alone. We were dealing with that. You know, then the kids, then the this, whatever. We had our reasons, but we've like been extremely careful over the last 2 years. Not consistently, but for
it
the most
ebbs
part,
and flows.
It ebbs and flows, but for the most part, like, so that's just been, you know, which, by the way, I'm not committed to on any level anymore.
Committed to what?
I don't care anymore. I'm not.
Oh, you've gone nihilist.
No, I care. Okay, let me rephrase that. I, like, my whole family just had COVID, and I'm triple vaxxed. But I will no longer like my,
done.
I'm not, unless like new information comes around. Like I told a school actually in LA today, they had like a very insane policy. We were going to go visit the school and I told them they wanted triple vaxxing and
triple vaxxing for me to be able to come. I had
hold
to be
on,
triple
pause
vaxxed.
It here. I think the.
So, yeah, okay.
So, okay,
the
yeah,
one
they wanted. Sorry, we had to take a break because food was delivered.
They wanted triple vax.
They wanted parents to be triple vax. They wanted also a negative test. Same day. So they wanted both of those things. We all just had COVID. And I'm like, no, no.
You're exhausted.
I just said, I'm withdrawing my son's application from your school. It's been a long 2 years. We've all just recovered from COVID. And we are looking to relax.
Right.
Stage of the game.
What do they do?
They said, fuck you. I'm going to fucking cancel your whole family.
We actually got an email from Fauci. He's like, are you
like,
okay?
They're like, Squarespace, you can forget it.
Well, to you know, to me, like
fuck you.
To me, one of the particularly cloying aspects of the tribe that is like hyper get vaxxed, hyper mask, hyper like whatever the fuck you think is that. What really one of the cloying aspects of it is the lack of compassion because or empathy. There seems to be this like weird like they're completely connected to biological realities. To the current cutting edge of science, to whatever the current thing is, regardless.
Current, by the way, changing every minute.
Right.
Like our friend just pointed out that things that were conspiracies a few months ago are now considered general knowledge and accepted fact.
Right. So there's an adherence to this sort of like generally accepted, like this is what's happening. And that's okay. I think that's actually a probably
that's how science works. It's like they have the information they have at the time that they have it, and it updates as the research comes
also,
along. That
I
makes sense.
I
to
I do
me.
Think that's a result of like probably going to college. Like if you've gone to college and you've studied statistics, the scientific method, any basic biology or anything, you have this awareness of how people come to like
yeah,
what
I
is
haven't finished college,
what is known as scientific fact.
Put that out there, but.
And. But, you know, if you, like, you know, if you've, like, I, not to brag, I have a bachelor's degree in psychology. The shit gets hammered into your head. And it's intense, and it's, like, it's serious, and, like, they explain why it's serious and why you need this rigorous way of coming up with this is what's real and this is what isn't real. And so there's a, once you've learned that, there is a natural predisposition to be like, yeah, of course that shit in the, a few months ago was wrong because they got more data and the data yeah. showed this is right. All that stuff is fine, whatever. The problem is that within all of that, it's like this other thing is lost, which is, guess what? Not everybody had to suffer through a fucking statistics class. Not everybody had to learn calculus. Not
yeah,
everyone had to.
But also, like, think certain things can't be measured by statistics and certain things. Or certain things won't be for a long time, like how our children are suffering and what they're going through. And it's going to take some real time to get some quantifiable data on
absolutely.
That. However, mothers and fathers are watching this in real time with their children. And we've had enough.
You mean like when you're putting the mask on the kid and you tell him it's what Spider-Man would wear? That kind yeah, of those kind of like, surreal moments.
I or like one of our children has like an extreme aversion to the nose swab. And I really feel like I'm ruining his childhood when I've had to like repeatedly. And I know there's some people who are out there like, well, we don't want to swab. We don't swab. We don't test. What dunk? I'm not there. That's like. If my kids have COVID, I want to know. Treat them. I want to know their symptoms. I want to look out for like post-viral syndromes and whatever. Like, I want to know that. So I just don't want anyone to say, well, don't swab them, because like that's just been a reality. Even to attend school, we've had to swab.
Well, no. Okay.
So here's the thing. But I have felt like, I just want to say, I have felt like when I'm holding him down and swabbing his nose, like I'm ruining his childhood.
Right.
I am ruining his childhood. I don't want to get
emotional. I don't think you're ruining his childhood.
But I have felt like that. Like it has hurt me.
How are you ruining his childhood?
It's just sad for their life to be masked.
Childhood
and
swabbed. But if childhood's that fragile, we're fucked. There's people who were children when bombs were being dropped in World War II. People who are children
yeah,
doing all kinds of
and those people suffer lifelong consequences from
yeah,
their trauma.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, if you ask them, would you rather have bombs dropped on you or occasional swabs, they're going to be like,
yeah,
I'll take
course,
the swabs.
But you can always point to anything in life, Duncan, and say, oh, well, there's someone suffering worse. I mean, I don't think that's the answer.
I don't think you're ruining the
we're all,
kid's
I know, I think you're right.
Them.
I think you're right.
That's nuts.
I'm just sharing a thought I've had.
Look, I'm sorry I called you nuts, but I do think that there is a, like, you
That's just a visceral, real moment I've had as a mother, and I feel like other people can probably relate.
Yeah, sure.
To that.
No, I know.
And
what you
know
mean.
You felt it too, like that day when we were all exposed and we knew we were getting it, and we drove in our minivan, waiting there and having to hold them down in their car seats. I knew, like, I saw it in your eyes that moment.
Yeah, you're like, this is what is this hell?
It was a
now?
Saturday morning.
What is this
it
fucking Hellraiser?
Saturday morning.
These Cenobites are coming out to do some kind of bizarre scientific alien thing to our kids. And like, you have to calm them down and you want to stay calm.
Yeah, you have to tell them it's normal because it is normal now.
And but also,
but inside you're screaming. Your heart is breaking.
To me, what's really sad is that no matter what decision you make, there is an entire massive demographic of people who are going to think you're an asshole. So it's like,
ew.
Okay, so you want to do the right thing. That's the essence of it. That's why we're getting tested. That's why people get tested. The reason people want to get tested is not just because they want to know if they have COVID or not. It's because they want to know if it's safe for them to go out of their homes and live their lives.
There's a lot of different reasons. there's a lot of everyone.
But wouldn't you say
like
that's the primary point of testing is you don't want to spread it to other people?
Yeah, you don't want to spread it. I think so, yes.
So that's the primary point of testing. You don't want to spread it to other people. And so the basis of the thing is compassion. It's not self-preservation. That, you know, chances are if you get COVID, you're going to be okay. If you test positive for COVID, no one can really even fucking do anything other than be like, well, check your oxygen. Hopefully it's okay. COVID doesn't like you and you'll survive this. That's pretty much it. It's fucked. You can take glutathione. There's a lot of like remedies out there. Who knows if they work or if they don't. My point is we're getting tested not for self-preservation. We're getting tested because you don't want to kill somebody with this shit. So that's what I'm saying. The root of the thing is compassion. The root of the thing is you don't want to get other people sick.
I know, but I'm not even, I don't care about that. I mean, I do care about that. Anyone sick, but I'm just saying, like, just on a personal level, I'm just saying that it's been horrific.
Right. Well, no.
And I know that's, like, obvious, but I just want to say it. I want to scream it from the rooftop.
It's horrible.
I want to, like, say it to be a parent right now is an exhausting, never-ending, horrific risk-benefit analysis that is a drain.
Right. For my non-parent friends out there, the idea, like what we used to take for granted back in the day before the times that we're currently in, is there were a lot of things you took for granted. For example, school. Like preschool, school. Yeah.
There was childcare in general.
Right. You took it for granted. Like maybe snow would happen. If you live in a snowy place, if it snows a bunch, your kids can't go to school.
Yeah.
But what happened is this fucking disease. And so what happened is that just out of the blue, because with kids, especially young kids, especially getting a rhythm going is so important. Like
it's the only thing,
And they're so attuned to that rhythm that
they need it.
Any change in the rhythm, a later bedtime, a like just any random change,
it freaks them out.
Yeah, because they're like they're trying to like use this like structure, this temporal structure, which is their daily schedule, to grow as people. It's like it's you could just any time it gets out of whack, they really don't like it, and so COVID took that and just blew it up.
Yeah.
Because even if as a parent you like find childcare, find a preschool, find all these things for them, at any second, the
rolling closures. Quarantines.
And what goes along with a quarantine is, of course, the possibility that you are infected, your kids were infected. So it's not just like the kids have to stay home from school. It's, oh my God, are you going to be one of the tiny percentage of children
that don't make it out of this?
Are you? Yeah. And you know, statistically,
no. You know it's not, but you still picture your child on a ventilator.
Right. It's not like a snow day. It's when there's a snow day, you're not like picturing your kid like in the hospital as things kind of slide out of control. So there's a psychological aspect to COVID.
That's just worrying about them medically. Okay. Then like in a moment, you might be able to move past that. Now your marriage is fucked up because you have the structure of your life has completely fallen apart. Your partner's ability to work, your ability to like even shower as a mom or whatever your situation is, it just completely falls apart. And there is no marriage that is not gonna encounter like insane amounts of stress as a result of that.
Right.
So it's like everything just completely can just fall apart so quickly.
So quickly. Thank you, Everything 420, for supporting this episode of the DTFH. Everything 420 has a wild assortment, from bongs to rigs to vapes to grinders, papers, trays, cleaning supplies, and more. They sent me a variety of bongs. If you want like a cool, sophisticated bong, they've got it. If you want something that looks like it was exploded out of the Necronomicon, they've got that too. You want to see what a $4,200 bong looks like? They've got them, you billionaire. You just want basic, nice, handmade, beautiful glass from artists in the U.S. They've got that too. They ship discreetly out of Dallas, and with the promo code Duncan, you can save 15% on nearly everything, excluding bundles. Plus, the 420 and 710 stores. That's everything420.com. Thank you, Everything420.
Everything just completely can just fall apart so quickly.
So quickly. Well, this is the, this reality, which I'm assuming, I don't think all of y'all out there are necessarily like riding the maelstrom. I think there must be pot. That's what's so bizarre about this thing is that like, there's literally like, we're living in parallel timelines right now. The state that you're living in.
Yeah.
So everyone's living in
these. We're just speaking specifically about
our experience. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, times have been dark.
Well, yeah. I mean, and it's this sort of unrelenting reminder that, you know, when you're like taking up any kind of spiritual anything that, like the wisdom traditions will, in some form or fashion, remind you of your mortality. And
for me, I know for you, your spirituality has been a great comfort for me, like 100%.
Really?
Couldn't have gotten through without my faith in God and my religious beliefs and Maharaji and Jesus and everyone who was willing to come along.
Oh no, you're like using all your phone numbers in your spiritual Rolodex. I'm fucking talking to leprechauns. Whatever it is, Santa Claus, I don't know. Can
Paul,
you help?
Peter, Baba.
Aliens, I'll take aliens, Pleiadians, I don't know. Fucking Celestial Prophecy people.
Yeah.
Are you out there? I'll take them all. Every single one.
Everything.
Pour it on, please.
Yeah.
Yo. Yeah, and they are there. That's the other thing, though. Like, to me, like, some of the comfort I find is not in some, like, ambiguity, but in the real reality that, like, at any given moment, there are people, like, very, very advanced people who have dedicated their entire lives to alleviating human suffering. Now, those people take a lot of different forms. Doctors, psychologists, psychiatrists, but some of them are in fucking caves. I think some of them can probably levitate. And when you find yourself in a particularly rotten place, as I think a lot of people are right now, you can really tune into that field. Like, it's there. It's right. That's the other, like, paradoxical reality of this, like, tumultuous time, is that in the midst of all of it, in a non-naive, wishful thinking kind of way, if you just calm down a little bit, you can feel something. There's something there that isn't all bad. There's something there that's actually quite amazing.
Yeah.
And I like, whatever that thing is, it gets drowned out, though. That's the problem. It gets fucking drowned out by all this stuff. This stuff is loud.
Go back our relationship for a second, because I feel like we definitely touched on like a lot of the negative stuff.
Yeah.
And there was like a good bit of that.
Horrible.
Horrible. But we've both been in therapy and separately and together. And I don't want to just like gloss over it, but we're in a really good place right now, I think. But I think we should circle back to like, there was a disagreement about us staying here or not. And we were talking about LA. And so we're going to LA next week.
See if we like it.
So we have decided together. So one of those conflicts is resolved. We have decided to leave Asheville.
Right.
Right.
I mean, assuming there isn't some like, that's the other
thing. We don't know where, which is kind
of
crazy.
Also, the other funny thing about making these kinds of decisions, and I do think, like, I don't know how many of y'all have, like, this has occurred to you yet. Probably a lot of you, but I think a growing kind of like, because one of the, like, in the consideration of like this, like, global fucking trauma that everyone went through, everyone's going through.
Yeah.
Like, because a lot of us are just doing like one day at a time, trying to make it through.
Yeah.
Like the long-term effect of this level of instability and this very specific kind of chaos.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting in that, like, and I like in a general like environmental disaster, you see fire, you can see the meteor, you can see the bombs. You can see the result of the bombs. And in there, in that seeing the result of the bombs and the fires and all the things that have plagued humanity for as long as there's history, there's a natural thing that happens, which is that, like, you know, after an earthquake, it's the cliche everyone talks about. Things get quiet.
Yeah.
And then people help. They go and pull fucking boulders off. And they're like, their identity dissolves. And they're like, let me fucking help. It's a famous thing that happens. It's a beautiful thing. It shows what humans really are. And part of it is because you could see the rubble and hear the screaming and see the fires.
What's your point?
My point is that in this case, with a pandemic, even though you see a number, which is the number of people who are literally dying every day,
It's 800, almost 900,000 people in this country dead. Yes,
right. You know, a plane crashes. The plane has 200 people in it. And that's going to be news for a long time. You're going to have footage of the fucking wreckage.
Yeah.
Right. So my point is that the normal way that compassion within a human being is generated is not being generated right now because it's hard for numbers to generate.
No, we're just being blown out every day. Compassion blowout.
Right.
We're fatigued.
Right. So it seems there's a surreal quality to it. People will message me and say, I feel like I'm in a dream. This doesn't seem quite real.
I feel like that every day.
Oh, God. Disassociated. People are disassociating.
I'm disassociating like 500
times
kidding? A day.
It's the fucking pet rock of COVID. And no one wants to admit it. As a former ketamine addict, I'm like, oh, I'm disassociating. Cool. This is awesome. I'm disassociating. Yeah. Wow, this is
great.
I don't
even need acid anymore or anything. Yeah. I feel like high every day just on the like...
Yeah.
Sheer
dreamy quality.
Yeah. And horror.
Well, yeah. I mean it is, but you know, it's like, and it is horrible. And it's and also I think it's like you have to say it's incomprehensibly horrible.
Yeah.
In the sense that
literally incomprehensible. Yeah. We cannot understand.
It's H.P. Lovecraft.
What's even happening. Okay, but we all know that. I just wanna
good night.
One kind of fun good thing night. Is that we're shut up now.
It's incomprehensibly horrible. Good You've night. Been listening to the Duncan Trussell Family Hour podcast.
Hope good you night. Feel better.
Sweet dreams.
No, okay, but I just want to go more like on personally to us. So like all that's been going on, but we're also just not like we know the place we're in. It's not the forever place for us for like a few different reasons. Like the biggest one for me is it's too cold. I'm way too cold. I need to be outside. I like the sun beating hot on my shoulders. I like my freckles are like, I need them
Your
to
freckles?
Come out more. Yeah, that's like the measure of my happiness. No, I know that's like
what
terrible for skin cancer. And
you're saying your fucking freckles are the measure
like
of your
happiness?
The more freckles you are, the happier you are? Like some kind of weird My Little Pony thing?
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so.
I've never heard you say that.
But I think it. I think it.
You think like, oh my God, I have freckles. I should be happy.
I always have freckles, Duncan, but I'm just saying, you know, whenever I look at like the happiest times in my life, it was
you
like.
You had freckles?
More freckles. More of them.
That's literally the craziest thing I've ever heard you say.
Anyway, it's too cold. There's other types of reasons.
You mean like you're like a frog?
No, listen.
You're like some kind of weird frog at a pet store where they're like, if it has freckles, its diet is good.
Yeah. Yeah. Moving on. Other reasons.
Oh, shit, man.
You agree too, okay?
Your frogs,
you
freckles.
You don't want to stay here either.
In Asheville?
Yeah.
No, I don't really want to stay in Asheville.
Yeah. So like, okay, we didn't agree on that, but we do now.
Well, my realization is really far. It's like it's like the height of embarrassment. It's like really embarrassing.
Well, you don't have to share.
I'll share it. I tell them everything. Okay. Generally, almost everything. Okay. Honestly, you've told them more than I have in this podcast, but that's probably good. We got lucky. I don't know how we lucked into this. We got a great fucking therapist. Ramdas used to say, yeah, you're only good as your therapist. We got this insanely good marriage counselor. Like, she is like it's like some combination mystical person and like just plumber. Like, she's
so good.
So good. She's like a mystical mind plumber, but like, you know, just like getting like
everyone raves about their therapist.
Do they really? No, some people like, don't. No, I've had shitty therapists.
Yeah, everyone
are you fucking
has.
Kidding?
Everyone I've had has. Okay.
I've had therapists where you're like, what the fuck are you doing?
What was your point?
I've had therapists just like, are you going to fucking like do something bad to me?
That we came together.
Can I ask him to see my dick? I've had therapists where I've thought that. I'm like, are you going to ask me to show you my dick or something?
And you would like it. And you would enjoy it.
That's the next thought. I'd probably like it.
You would like it.
If your therapist is like, show me your dick.
You would like that.
You know, most of my...
It's not like you'd be like, oh, no. You'd be like, ugh, okay.
No, I wouldn't.
Here's my dick.
No, I wouldn't. You should see some. No, my therapist have
care.
Never been my.
You would do it just for if the. My, you would do it.
If I
just
went to,
for the fun of it.
No,
I know you.
No, I would not.
Yeah, you would.
If the therapist was hot.
No, you wouldn't care.
I would care. I'm mm-hmm. sorry. There needs
if
to be.
If they were like decent, you'd. If they were like just okay, you'd be like, ugh, this is so weird.
90% of my therapists have been dudes. I'm not going to like okay, be like, fine. All right, man, look at my dick. Suck my dick, man.
Can we just go back to...
Maybe I would.
We decided to leave Asheville, like, okay? We have. And you want to, too. And that's why we're going to LA next week. Although Austin is at the top of our list as well. But LA has everyone we love.
Yeah, but it's very expensive there.
We actually, before us, a list I will not share, but we have pros and cons lists.
Don't share the list.
I won't.
That's bullshit.
I'm not going to. I'm just saying we're really, it's come down to the list making.
Well, I think we already know where we're going to land.
Yeah, we do.
But we'll see. Who knows?
But I think, through like our conflict and the horror of the last few years, we're in a really good place right now.
I do too. You know, there is a term in Buddhism that I love, poison into medicine is the idea. And it shows up in a lot of different forms of Buddhism. But it's the idea that weirdly, it's a weird idea that I never really understood. In fact, I think someone... You know, anytime you get a message from someone telling you on Instagram that they've gotten enlightened, you're just like, all right, I guess so.
No, that's bullshit.
Well, right. But this person actually did say something to me that was really interesting, but I shrugged. You know what they said?
What?
They said, either you will gain enlightenment or your suffering will be your enlightenment. And I remember like reading that. I was on the toilet. I remember specifically being on the toilet and reading that, being like, and I wrote something snarky back, like, congrats on getting enlightened. But like I thought it annoyed me because I thought about that long after this, whoever they are wrote this to me. I think they were saying, come to India, come follow me in India. It was really weird. But like, then I thought about it and I thought, And then later, as I'm like studying more Buddhism, that is actually coming up a lot, which is your suffering is really your enlightenment, but in the way that like the floor is the ceiling when you're standing on your head, if that makes any sense at all.
It makes sense, yeah.
And so I think that whenever you find yourself in a time period like a lot of us are in,
and like us, maybe a little bit displaced,
yeah, and you're like married and you got kids,
married,
and you kids. Love the fucking kids, but you're stuck at home.
Mountains are surrounding you on every side.
I don't mind that so much.
You've said it makes you feel claustrophobic.
I know, but like
at times.
To me, like the...
You have said it. I can't, admit it.
I admit it.
Okay.
To me, though, like, I do want to go to a place where I can regularly do stand-up. And, yeah. But not that you can't do it here, but it's different. Look, I don't want to, we talked about this before the podcast. I don't want to get into some, like...
Me either.
Stupid, like, attack on this little city that's doing its fucking best right now with an incredible influx of assholes like us. It's not
the city's problem. I don't think that's the message at all.
No, I know.
It's clearly about us.
Yeah. But I have to say, to get back to the relationship stuff, that you can't really hope to find true peace with a partner without going through all their rotten shit.
Yeah.
Maybe you have been in therapy before you met the person and they've been in therapy.
Yeah.
And then I think in that case, there's a chance to like maybe not have to like confront the shit.
I don't think so. I think you're going to just confront and confront and confront. I think marriage
You know
is
what?
Like,
many of my girlfriends who have been in therapy, we don't have the same kind of problems that you and I have.
Well, sounds good for them. I have problems with all my dudes.
Well, you date fucking assholes.
Okay, we're making a joke. We're actually monogamous right
they
now.
They bully me.
Because it's all we can handle, though we are accepting applications for girlfriends at any
time. I'm sure after this podcast.
After this?
Oh, God. There's a lot of ladies
who
are like.
They're lining up.
Oh, my God.
They're lining up.
Stop the fucking podcast. Boy, do I really want to connect with a displaced couple uncertain of where they're going to live.
What's
better than that?
With two kids and the wife. And by the way, I want more kids. So. We opened with that. My addiction to reproduction. Oh. I want another baby.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have to get someone to handle my Instagram after this. We're going to get so many messages.
I want another baby. That's my thing. I want more babies. I want to have a big family with Duncan. I love the children he gives me. I want to see them, like, all running around. I want, like, I just want as many kids as he'll give me. It's really bad.
Why is that bad?
I know it's bad because it's like, it's a lot. I don't know. It's counterculture, I guess. But whatever. That's like my heart's desire. And I feel like God is calling me to that. But
God is calling you? Which God? Which God?
My God.
Pan?
My God. But you know what I think marriage is? I think like.
My God is a God of come.
My God is an awesome God. But listen, I really think. Marriage is like when you all the points you would get when you're dating, like you date someone for a long time and you would reach these points where you're like, oh, it's just an impasse. We just cannot. We have to separate.
So you break up.
You break up. In marriage, you just hit that again and again and again
again,
and you get stronger each time.
No escape. Well, there is escape, but you have to be.
Yeah, we could get divorced.
Yeah.
But we don't want to get divorced.
Yeah, there's... It's
you
like,
and I are both empowered and free-spirited.
Well, you know,
and
really,
if we wanted to get divorced, like, we would just get divorced.
I love you so much.
I love you so much.
I want a fucking divorce. That sounds
never,
horrible.
You're never getting rid of me.
You're not getting rid of me. You say
I'm
that.
I'm going to make
I got to say this. You say that, but you don't know. You don't understand. You're never getting rid of me.
You're never getting rid of me.
Genetically handcuffed
I
to me.
I will come in and... get you.
Where will I be?
I need your children. I need to bear more of
Hear
your children.
Hear this, ladies? You could be one of these, too.
I need to bear more of your children. I need to be by your side.
Well,
I need to support you in your career. I want to hold you and love you. And I just want to be with you. And that's how I feel. But like, God damn, there's a lot of moments like what? In between that.
What?
There's a lot of moments in between talking that. About?
No, there isn't.
Marriage is just an agreement to stay together.
I many of my past lovers have described me as a kind of ballerina in my grace.
You're full of shit.
I've been described as a ballerina. People say
I've been described as an ice queen.
Are you joking? Someone called you an ice queen?
Cold. Because I would just walk away and walk away and walk away. I would just get in my car and just leave someone and never talk to them again.
Well.
So this has been a real blessing for me.
Me too. Well, I mean, that's what I was trying to say earlier is it's like, I think there's a problem in the world, which is people have gotten confused about medicine. Like medicine...
Medicine?
Yeah, medicine. Like, people have gotten confused about medicine because there's this weird idea that medicine is supposed to be pleasurable that's popped up. Or the idea is like learning, learning curves, growing, growth, personal evolution, all this stuff.
Yeah, like when I work out, I ride my Peloton every day, like therapy, all of it.
It's awful.
Like, it's awful at times. It's not all awful, but it's a bitter. It's like, yeah, drinking. Okay, but I don't want people to think we're saying our marriage is like bitter medicine.
You know what? I gotta say.
What? Don't say that.
Sometimes it is.
Sometimes it is, but.
Are you fucking kidding? Like, sometimes it really is.
Yeah, it can be, but. There's something so good about it.
Yeah. Well, because it's, you know, it's love. But I don't, this whole idea of like love being like, the problem is like this, people have crazy ideas about what love looks like. I'm not saying,
but
that because like, you know, look, this is something that I say all the time.
What?
Every rose
has its thorns.
As I say.
Yeah. And you say every night has its dawn.
What else do I say?
Just like every... Cowboy has a sad song.
Yeah. Yeah. This I have tattooed on my right butt cheek, right underneath a pentagram.
I just think like for me, for my personal experience, like our marriage, I've just recognized, I recognize these little moments in our marriage where I'm like, oh, I've hit this wall before in XYZ relationship, whatever. And I'm like, and then I got the hell out of there. And yeah. By the way, I'm only 28, so, like, I have a lot left. Like, it's not that much. It's not, like, that much of experience. But I see, like, our marriage. It's more than anything a confrontation with myself.
Yeah.
And my own trauma.
Yeah.
My own baggage.
Yeah.
And knowing that, like, if I were to go elsewhere, I'd just be like starting at zero and it would be just right there waiting for me.
Not necessarily.
What is this?
Well, you never think to yourself like, who knows, maybe like you, how, what? Yeah. But imagine this.
What? There's someone else.
You find somebody and you're like, oh my God, Duncan was a fucking asshole. I was just rationalizing the whole thing with all this spiritual bullshit. That guy was a dick. You're with some guy, he's playing you violin at night, lotioning your feet.
That gets so annoying.
Who the fuck played violin for you at night?
No, I'm just saying that's not sustainable. That's NRE, baby.
What's NRE?
New relationship energy.
Oh, right, right, right. NRE.
NRE, it can get you a few years.
You know, isn't that what was above Jesus's head on the cross? Enri.
You sound like you want a new relationship.
I don't want a new relationship. Number one, I'm joking. I mean, I completely concur with you. I
know you are. I know you're done with me. Like, I know I'm the end of the road for you.
What?
I know I'm it for you.
What are you? No, you're not. You're not the end of the road.
I mean... not sexually, but I just know, like, relationship wise.
What do you mean?
I know that I'm the one for you.
I mean, what about... I'm just... Baby, I'm sorry. I'm trying to make a stupid joke of me. I love you so much. Of course you are. Of course you are. Look, I'm making a joke.
What's the joke?
The joke was a person... Here's the format of the joke. In a podcast, a person expresses some sentimental, beautiful thing. And to diffuse... the romantic moment, because there's some spark of Lucifer inside of you, try to make a bad joke.
Don't diffuse.
It's like my whole
now
life.
Now you have to bare your soul.
I don't have to bare my soul.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't. I did bare my soul through the whole podcast. There's nothing else to bear. I mean, that is what it is. Like in a.
And also, I just want to put out there, like, Duncan and I have a non-monogamous. Like, we started our relationship with.
You don't have to do polyamory now.
No, I'm just saying. So it's not like we're definitely not the last people each other will be with, but especially sexually, but like.
What the fuck does that mean?
Especially sexually. Like, that's not an issue for us.
What the fuck?
It's not an issue for me.
I will be the last. Sexually. No, I'm going to be the last person. I will be the last man you touch.
Well, that's going to be difficult when you're 20 years older than me.
Are you going to Lady Chatterley lover? You're going to fuck a huntsman? It's a mess.
That's just a mess.
Our kids are going to listen to this. They're not going to listen to this. They might.
But I just mean...
when I'm in a wheelchair quivering somewhere, you're going to like... go bang a, like, quail hunter.
You'd be fine with it.
Not really, but what am I going to do? Like, roll out of my wheelchair?
I'll take care of you.
What am I going to do? Like, fill up an extra diaper to punish you?
Look, if you give me the amount of children I want, I'll just sign a deal to not.
I don't know if I would even sign that deal. Sounds horrible.
How many kids do you want?
None.
How many are you willing to have?
I mean, no more than
we're laying it all out. And by the way, we've been drinking.
How many? This is a stupid question.
Why?
I'll tell you why. Because
how many?
How do you answer that?
Are you willing to?
This
have?
Is like a. It's like a. It's
like what's your?
You know what it's like when you have the paper
okay,
thing.
Okay, I know. But what's your limit?
My limit on kids? I don't have a limit. Or
no,
I don't have a limit or even know.
You don't have a limit?
I don't. No, I can't think that far ahead. I don't know. I'm doing it moment to fucking moment. Seriously. Do I like, I think kids are complex and right now it's like a crazy time to have kids, but there's something in it that I like. Like, yeah, fuck it. Like, let's just reproduce and get ripped apart by like environmental tides.
No, but also there's a sense of like, what else are we doing?
Have kids, like, you know, yeah, are some of us going to get carried off in some kind of apocalyptic cyclone?
No, but what else are we doing?
Are some of us going to get like ripped to shreds by the Fenris wolf?
I was looking at rooms in the Maldives today, and it's like,
why are you looking at rooms in the Maldives?
Because
you are going nuts.
Good.
Well, really, we're going to go to the fucking Maldives right now?
No, we're not. We're not. But I'm just saying, yeah, you can't even go to other countries because you might get like held in a room for 14 days at their discretion. So we might as well just have babies.
That's
something
not
I love to have.
That is not like the answer to not being able to go to the Maldives. That's the, in fact the crazy. You know what? We couldn't go to the Maldives, so we thought we would sentence another human to death.
I think God calls us to have a large family.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you get to be the one that decides what God calls us to do.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm okay with another kid. But I can't promise you more than that. I mean that.
We might need to have four.
I don't think so. No way. I'm going to have
we'll
to say,
what are we,
fucking Jim Gaffigan?
We're going to pray on it.
No, pray to who? Who gets to be the receptacle of their response from the divine?
God.
Yeah, but who's God talking to?
We'll
Koresh?
Pray You'll pray on it.
Okay, I'll pray on it. And then how do you get the answer? Like if a frog jumps at me.
So we'll know in our hearts. Don't be so cynical.
I'm not being cynical. You're like, you're already on kid number four. We only have two.
I know. I want to leave all the doors open.
Sure, leave the doors open.
For any souls that might be circling.
Yeah, but you can also bring those souls in other ways. You can be mounted by the spirits and let them speak
through
you.
I can be mounted.
By the spirit.
Like,
by the spirit.
Dudes.
No, by the spirit. Not a dude. You're not getting mounted.
I can be mounted.
No one's mounting my wife, just so you know. Well, maybe I wouldn't mind a lady mounting you.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I just see like the number 4 and I think it's good for us.
Well, this has been the Duncan Dressel Family Hour podcast. You have heard two lunatics rambling for the last hour.
How long?
It's been about an hour.
How long has it been?
I don't know how to tell on this. It's been over an hour, I'm pretty sure. And we are now...
But I do want to say one thing.
What?
I love you.
I love you.
Love you so much.
I love you.
We're bullshitting right now, but like...
What do you mean we're bullshitting?
I mean, we're being silly, but like, I do love you so much.
You do?
I do. Like, I think you're so handsome and gorgeous.
Think I'm handsome?
Yeah.
Even my bald spot, it's growing.
Yeah, I love your bald spot.
What?
I stared it right in the face when we were dating.
What about when the dog licks it?
Then cracks me the fuck up.
It's the worst. She's got this rotten dog that climbs on the couch and licks my bald
like
spot.
It's
like
her
some kind
job.
Of satanic imp.
Like it's her job.
You know, like just when you forget you have a bald spot.
I just want to tell a story. I like looked at your bald spot in our Silver Lake. Your Silver Lake bachelor pad when I met you. And
I was really
just completely falling in love with you. Yeah. Like bad, bad, bad case. Like the worst case you could have of falling in love with someone. Like horribly.
Really?
Oh my God.
And when you saw my bald spot, you were like, oh my God, this seals the deal. That shiny kind of
thing. No, I saw it and I... It's like you've said before, like the bald spot is like death. Like it's like the aging, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, and then like, and I looked at it and it looked back at me and I was just like, I don't fucking care.
Really?
Really?
And my bald spot looked at you.
I love even that.
Oh, that's sweet.
Like so much. I love that so much. Like, I love that part of him so much.
Oh, that's sweet. You know the cool thing about having a bald spot?
And I was 24, and I'm just saying, like, there was a lot that went into that because you were 20 years older than me, but I was just like, I don't care.
Is it even dawned on you that what you did marrying someone as old as me now that you're like...
Yeah.
It's dawned on you? Like, it's... It
gets hard sometimes. Like, sometimes it's... Like, when your back has gone out...
Oh my God, that's the way. When your fucking
when
back goes out,
out
and your wife is young and you're trying to fake it because you don't want to seem so old.
And she knows and she's nagging at you to go to the doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've faced it. And you know what? You and I also sat in that exact bachelor pad and we shed tears. Like we cried together knowing that like our time together was going to be, I mean, no one knows their time on earth, but like. Likely.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Likely. Let's just
I don't,
say
by the way, I don't remember this tear session over
we
my
high.
Mortality.
We were high.
Over my mortality.
Yeah, we were on drugs. We
so
were high.
What?
Okay, but I remember it. And I've done a lot less
we
drugs
cry.
Than you.
So, like, you're saying
I remember
that at some,
it very well.
Some point we're high and I start crying
no,
and you're
we
crying.
We cried together. You were like, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to get emotional. You're like, I'm going to leave you. We're going to like, we knew we were going to be together. We were planning on our marriage. We were planning on like our forever union. And you were like, I'm going to leave you early.
That is true. I remember that.
You do remember it now?
Yeah.
And we were crying together.
Well, I felt unethical, you know, not bringing that up. It's the truth.
And I did think about it. And you know what? The like a few weeks, like 2 weeks before we married, we were in Little Cumberland in that house and I read A Year of Magical Thinking by Joan Didion for like whatever time.
Horrible writer.
I'm gonna ignore that. And I thought about like what it might be like to lose you. Like I thought about it all and I just like and I thought about I remember it being in that room actually that like kinda had a moldy smell like sand, but like in the good way, like a beachy
yeah.
smell. And I thought about like taking your last name, and I thought about you dying before me. I thought about those two things. Because I wasn't sure if I wanted to take your last name, and I wasn't sure if I could handle you dying before me.
Well, guess what?
24, by the way, and tender age, and I just knew you were the one for me.
Well, that's beautiful, but I am not going to die before you. I can guarantee that.
You're going to murder me?
No, I didn't say that.
But I just knew it, and I still know
I love
know
you.
It.
You're a wonderful sweetheart. I love you
love
so
you
much.
Too.
What a great mom you are, too. I wish y'all could see what a great mom we got on our hands here. A real genius, truly. Like, we got some lucky kids.
And I want to say I'm like, I want to also say I'm a happy mom, too. I'm an unhappy mom in the circumstances, but like, I adore my...
You're a great mom. I don't think anyone expects moms to be happy all the fucking time.
No, I'm just saying I'm happy,
be happy
in my
all
role.
The time.
I want to say that. I'm
You're happy
in my
in your
role.
Role.
I really like being your wife. I really like being a mother. I love our age difference, like all of it.
Well, I love you. And thank you for being on my podcast.
You're welcome. Even though we argued about whether to do it tonight or not.
Whatever. I don't care. I'm glad we did it.
We're going to eat the madness.
Ugh.
Can you tell what it is?
Well, the madness, I made fun of it for the longest time. I made fun of it because there's like...
It's in a strip mall by the
like
library.
It's like a strip mall. It's a sushi place called The Madness. And
sushi
like,
and burger.
Their big angle is they have burgers. And like, so for months, we made fun of The Madness.
Because it was coming soon.
Imitating like how the person came up with the name. A lot of stupid jokes are out of The Madness. I fully expected it to suck. And it's actually really good.
Quite good. And it's
quite
on our
good.
Doorstep.
It's very good, actually. It's very good. Really good burgers.
We're about to eat it.
And we're hungry.
And I just want to say to, like, anyone that I came across wrong to, I'm really sorry. And...
Me too.
This was pretty raw, and we have been drinking, so...
Not that much.
Just, like, two drinks, but... I'm sorry, and I love you.
I say that to God literally every day. That is my prayer. You just did my prayer.
That's your prayer?
I'm sorry, I love you.
That's
I say
so
some.
Sweet.
I say some.
I never knew that about you. Is that your mantra?
It's not a mantra. It's just a prayer. Some version of. Usually, it's I'm sorry. Forgive me.
You are so forgiven.
Oh, I love you, babe. You're the best. Everyone's puking now. People are like wrecking their cars. They vomit and then sit in their own mouth.
I just
people are
you.
Choking
I need
on their.
So
own.
Much.
I
Please
love
don't ever leave me.
I will not leave you, and I love you so much.
Please.
Everyone's literally people are like having seizures of embarrassment. I love you guys. We gotta go. Bye. Hare Krishna. That was Aaron Trussell, everybody. A tremendous thank you to our sponsors, and of course, thank you. For continuing to listen to the DTFH, I'm going to see you next week with two episodes with Lama Somo and Marcus Henderson. Until then, Hare Krishna.